The old account was settled long ago.
Thank you.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. Ephesians chapter 6. In the last couple weeks or so, we've been learning verses 10 and 11. Starting today, we're going to be looking at verse 12. But before we get there, we have a couple of volunteers who would like to say verses 10 and 11. We can do that. Gerald, go right ahead.
Father, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wall of the devil.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Let's just say Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, now, verse 12. This is a difficult one. It's a long verse, and there are some big words, just do your best. And we'll take two or three weeks with this one, too, so hopefully many of us can learn it. All right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Basic thought here in this verse, of course, is our enemies are not human beings, right? We're fighting against the devil. And obviously, we can't do it alone. That's the whole purpose of this passage. We have to have the help of the Lord in order to defeat the devil. And all the people who work for him, mainly the demons. So, keep working on that, and we'll look at it again next week.
Well, good morning, everyone. Certainly good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you. Now, are we first-time visitors here this morning? It's good to have you guys. I want to welcome you guys for being first-time visitors. And thanks for coming this morning. And it's good to see you, Robert. Good to see everybody here this morning. And we welcome you. This in Sunday school, we started last week on the thought of prayer. And prayer is definitely an important part of every Christian's life. Amen. And so last week, we actually began to speak about the purpose of prayer. Why should we pray? Why do God's people need to pray? And I have two thoughts that I wanted to express about this. In fact, we talked last week about the first point, why we ought to pray. And that is the fact that prayer is a mandate. The Lord tells us to pray. The Lord wants us to pray. In fact, in Matthew chapter, and I'll repeat these verses, I have them written out. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 41, Jesus said, watch and pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, the Lord Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Romans 12:12, the Bible says that we need to continue instant in prayer. Amen. And so, and also Ephesians 6:18, which is the chapter we're dealing with about the spiritual battle. In the spiritual battle, we definitely need to be praying. By the way, every Christian is a soldier. Whether you're a good one or not, that's up to you, right? I mean, we're told in what? I think it's 1 Timothy chapter number 2, maybe 2 Timothy chapter. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We are told to be good soldiers of the Lord that we might please the one who what? Called us. Amen. And with that in mind, we've got to be careful not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen. So in Ephesians 6:18, it says praying always. And that's something we need to do. Philippians 4:6 says we need to be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about nothing. Boy, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. If we prayed about everything we worried about, I doubt if the Lord would, or if the devil would give us any fiery darts to challenge our doubts. Amen. If every time he brought a doubt to our mind, we turned it into prayer, he'd probably say, hold on a minute, I'm providing him a prayer list. I better stop this. Amen. And so we need to pray, especially as soldiers, we need to pray. Colossians 4:2 says we need to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And one of the easiest verses to memorize is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Amen. That does not mean you need to quit your job, get on your knees, stay at home all day. What that means is we need to have an attitude of prayer all day long. We need to be in contact with the Lord all day long. Amen. I think it's a good thing in the morning to get in touch with the Lord. Amen. And then to try to maintain that contact with the Lord throughout the day. And by the way, there are so many things that try to cut off our contact. Isn't it the truth? Amen. It's like people on cell phones. You know, sometimes you go through what? Dead zones. Amen. And you lose contact with whoever you're speaking to. And there are many a times in the Christian life where we're trying to stay in contact with the Lord. And sometimes we get ourselves in a situation and it becomes a what? Dead zone. Amen. Where we lose that contact. You see, what brings dead zones to Christians? Sin. Sin in the Christian life comes between us and the Lord. Amen. In fact, you know what the Psalm says, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not Hear me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. His arms are not short that he cannot save. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the Lord. He says to the nation of Israel, your sins have separated between you and your God that he will not hear you. Every Christian has got to be careful. By the way, we all get to those dead zones. Amen. But sin kind of short circuits our communication with the Lord. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we confess our sins to the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every sin that might come between us and the Lord and kind of cut off our fellowship and communication, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can get reconnected again. Amen. And by the way, some cell phone holders have the worst. I don't know about you. There are some places where people can't get any connection at all. Usually I've had AT&T forever. And usually for some reason, I could be out in a camp area somewhere where everybody's running to find a spot. And I got good connection. Amen. And so anyway, I'm not advertising for AT&T. By the way, the purpose of prayer. Why do Christians need to pray? We need to pray because the Lord commands us to pray. The Lord wants us to pray. You know, kind of wonder sometimes, why in the world would God command his children to do something that's so important and so valuable? And I mentioned this last week. Children need to be commanded to do the right things because we're all prone to do the wrong things. Amen? Ain't that the truth? You take your children to a buffet. And by the way, when my kids were small, we'd take them to the buffet. You can't just let them go on their own, can you? If you take your children to the buffet and you let them go on their own, where are they going? They're going to the dessert table. They're not like, oh, mom, look at this. There's a cauliflower and there's broccoli here and I just want to get to the spinach. They're not doing that. They're not thinking, man, this is good for me. This is healthy for me. This is going to help me to grow and be strong and healthy. They're thinking, I want what I want. By the way, we're all children, spiritually speaking, at heart. And there are a lot of times we'd rather be doing this, that, and the other thing than to be praying. Yep. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. That is the truth. Amen. There's so much in life that goes on that can keep us from the prayer closet. No doubt about it. One of the hardest things to do. By the way, I believe that's why prayer is so important. I believe it's a target of the devil to keep a Christian from the prayer closet. If he keeps you from prayer, listen, he keeps you from the Lord. And if he keeps you from the Lord, you're in trouble. Once you get away from the Lord, you're open prey, if you will. And the devil can pretty much really have his way with us, if you will. I think of Job and how close he was to the Lord. And by the way, Job was a man that was close to the Lord. Amen. And because he was so close to the Lord, when the devil tried to get to him, the Lord had what? A hedge about him. Amen. And so one of the reasons we need to pray according to Scripture is because we are commanded to pray. But beyond the command to pray, let me give you this thought as well. Here's the second reason, and I'm kind of, we started this last week, and I'm going to continue to work on it this morning. One of the other reasons, and I think even the main reason that we ought to pray, is because not only is prayer a mandate, prayer is a means. Prayer is a way of God's people getting everything that God has for them. Amen? By the way, that's what the Christian life should be all about. It shouldn't be all about me getting everything I want. It should be about me making sure I'm everything and I'm everywhere that God wants me to be. Amen. And that's the important thing. In fact, in James 4, I mentioned this last week, James 4, verse number 2, here's what the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. One of the reasons a lot of us lack the things we lack is because we don't go to the Lord and ask him for it. Amen. Oh, there's so much we need, and there's so much that the Lord has for us. We need to make sure we're a praying people. Even in the book of Matthew, it says the Lord knows all of our needs, yet he wants us to seek him, amen, and to ask him as a heavenly Father that he is. Prayer is asking and receiving, no doubt about it. Last week, we talked about the fact that prayer is a means of sanctification. The word sanctification, meaning our lives become more and more set apart to God. Amen. He saves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. Amen. Sanctification, as we look at it in the scripture, is God takes us from the moment that he saves us and he begins to make our lives more and more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, by the way, that's what we are predestined to be. Conformed to the image of his son. Amen. Now, one day we know that in heaven we are going to be like him. Amen. We're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to see him as he is. But along the way in this life, the Lord wants to make us more and more Christ-like. Amen. And by the way, that's where he's trying to get to in our lives. And that matter of fact, that's one of the reasons of our gathering together on the Lord's Day is God's Spirit uses God's Word to work in our hearts to provoke us and challenge us, encourage us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we talked about last week, prayer is a means of sanctification. Prayer is a means, if I might say it this way, of getting the victory in our lives. As Christian soldiers, we're in a battle. As Christian soldiers, we want victory. We need victory more and more. Amen? What are the victories we need? Well, we need victory over the devil, no doubt about it. We're talking about Ephesians 6. The devil's our enemy. We talked about it last Sunday on Sunday school. You remember I ran and raved for a little bit before we started. Kind of got a little bit, the devil got, you know, he's been working on me all week long and it was my opportunity to get up and talk about him, amen? But the fact of the matter, every Christian has an enemy and his name is Satan. In fact, think about this. And I mentioned this last week, but I want you to think about it. Jesus said to Peter, behold, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Remember that? Luke 22, I'm going to say, Jesus said to Peter, hey, Peter, the devil desires to get a hold of you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Who was it that turned around and said to you and I, be sober, be vigilant, because you're at, who was that? Yeah, it was Peter. Yeah, he ought to know. Hey, the Lord told him, he experienced what the devil could do, and then therefore he said to us, you and I, in 1 Peter 5:8, hey, be sober, be vigilant, pay attention, be alert, like a good soldier. Why? Because your adversary, by the way, take that personal. If you're a Christian, take it personal. Some people take all the wrong things personal. You know people like that? They take all the wrong things personal. You say something to them, they take it personal. They take it the wrong way a lot of times. And they go off getting what? Mad, huffing and puffing. Why don't we take the right things personal? Why don't we leave church taking it personal? You know, that, you know, really, the devil's my adversary. He's trying to get me. He's trying to get all the... I'll tell you one of his tactics. The devil will tell you you're really not worth getting. This will tell you, you're not really worth getting. Why would he want you? Who are you? You're not the preacher. You're not the whatever. You're worth getting because your life is worth something to the Lord. And the people that you influence with your life mean something to the Lord. We know the devil hits leadership big time. We talked about it last week in Acts chapter number 12. How that Herod, by the way, who's a great picture of the devil, who he was after certain of the church, killed James, wanted to kill Peter. He was after certain of the church, especially leadership. Why? If you can knock out the leader, you get the whole flock. By the way, why do you think that devil's so focused on fathers, parents? Because as goes the mom and dad, usually goes the whole family. Amen? The father is the keeper of the gate of his home. In fact, Jesus talked about a parable that, you know, when he talked about the devil, you know, they said that Jesus was casting out devils by the devil. And Jesus said, that don't make no sense. If I'm the devil casting out devils, aren't I hurting my own house? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And he said, listen, before somebody can rob somebody's house, they got to first bind the strong man. You can't just walk into somebody's house and spoil their house or take from their house. You've got to bind the strong man. You've got to be able to tie up the leader in order to simply walk in, get what you want, and leave. Talk about home invasion. That's what it's talking about. Let me tell you something. I believe the devil's doing a lot of home invasions nowadays. All he has to do is bind up daddy. Drugs, weed, 40s, whatever it is, bind him up. And that guy goes off on a mission, and all of a sudden his family's wrecked and ruined. It's all over. Amen? The devil is our adversary. If you're saved, the devil is your adversary. Take it personal. We need prayer in order to overcome the devil. We need prayer not only to overcome the devil, but to overcome this world. Boy, I'll tell you, this world is bad. If you don't see the world as problematic, might I say this? You are spiritually blind. Ain't that the truth? If people have no problem with the way of the world, then they don't realize how far this world has gone from the Lord. Amen? This world is crazy. No doubt about it. In fact, it was predicted by the Lord Jesus. Actually, it was predicted by Paul the Apostle, who told Timothy, listen, he said, in the end times, men are going to get worse. They're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The worst is yet to come on this world. Amen. In this world. For you and I that are saved, we're looking for the Lord to come and get us out. Amen. No doubt about it. And thank God he will get us out before the worst will come. Amen. No doubt about it. We have the devil to fight. We have the world to fight. The devil is the god of this world. And he uses this world, by the way, to seduce us and to overcome us. Did he not try to use this world to get the Lord Jesus to bow down and worship him? You remember that? You remember Jesus took the devil took Jesus up to the mountaintop, and he said, look, he showed him the kingdoms of the world. He said, look at this world. Here's what the devil said. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. Now, some of you might say, how in the world could that be? How could the devil have the authority to give Jesus the world? Who's the god of the world right now? Devil is. By the way, there's a lot of people that make pacts with the devil. They sell their soul to the devil. By the way, they're the ones that usually make it to the top. They're the ones that usually get all the success and fame and fortune and everything else. Amen? The devil uses this world. The Bible says in 1 John, the world, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And what they believe that means is the whole world lies in the lap of the devil. By the way, if the world is in the lap of the devil and you go ahead and jump into the world and enjoy yourself in the world, let me tell you whose lap you're playing on. You might as well be like Samson and lay your lap down on Delilah's head. Lay your head down on Delilah's lap. What happens when you lay your head down on Delilah's lap? You get a haircut. And what happens when the devil gives you a haircut in the devil's barbershop? You get up and you try to think you're going to go do what you did before, and you find out you don't have what you used to have because you got away from the Lord. You did what God said not to do, and now you don't have the strength no more to overcome. Amen? And so we all have a battle. We're battling the devil. We're battling the world, and we're battling, I think, personally. Now, you may not agree with me, and you might get mad at me, but that's okay. I think, personally, the worst enemy that I fight is me. It's me. I really believe that. I'm my worst enemy. Now, if you got a problem with that, you got too much pride and you have no idea who you really are. If you want to consider the life of the Apostle Paul, do you know what he said toward the end of his life? I am the chief of sinners. You'd have thought he would have said that in the beginning of his life when he was threatening Christians, when he was consenting to the murder of Christians. You'd have thought he would have said that when he first got saved. But after growing in the Lord and learning more and more, boy, I tell you, we need to conclude like Paul the Apostle did about ourselves and say this, oh, wretched man that I am. Only you know you really, really good. Amen? And therefore, you ought to realize, apart from God's help and God's grace, I would not like to tell you where I'd be. Amen? We have to battle this flesh. We have to battle the devil. We have to battle the world. And let me just say this. I believe prayer is one of the greatest weapons that you and I have. Because what prayer does, it connects us to the one who has everything we need for the victory we need. I'm getting off again, but that's okay. I want you to turn with me for a moment, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I didn't plan on this, but nonetheless, amen. It's getting too hot this morning. And I hardly had any coffee this morning, and I actually drink decaf coffee. Is that fan on behind me? No, I don't think it is, but I think we should be all right. I only got another 4 hours to go. No, I'm teasing. Somebody said, I'm out of here. I already told you about how long my father-in-law is, right? You remember that? I told you how long my father-in-law preaches. He's a preacher. I told you about the guy getting a middle service to go out and get a haircut. Remember that? My father-in-law said, why didn't you get one before service? He said, I didn't need one. Yeah. Yeah, there was one preacher. He preached so long, the guy fell asleep sitting right next to the deacon. Guy fell asleep sitting right next to the deacon. Preacher said to the deacon, deacon, wake that man up. That deacon said, you put him to sleep. You wake him up. I want you to look with me for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Prayer is a great weapon. I mentioned this last week, and Brother Sam came to me and he gave me who it was that said it, and I can't remember his name. I remember Sam's name, but not the other guy's name. The devil trembles at the weakest Christian on his knees. See, a weak, thank you, brother. A weak Christian is a strong Christian. You see, the world's got it backwards. The world says, you know, you got to be strong and you got to be this and you got to be that. No, 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 no. Those seemingly strong ones are the ones that fall easy. The weak ones are the ones that depend on the Lord. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter number 12. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because when I'm weak, I don't depend on myself. When I'm weak, I realize I can't win. I need somebody else bigger and better and stronger to help me. Amen. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Prayer is a weapon that you and I as Christians have that we need to avail more of in order to get the victories that we need. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse number 3. Paul said this. By the way, they were accusing Paul of walking in the flesh as a minister. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, and by the way, we are in the flesh still, every one of us, it says this, we do not war after the flesh. You see, being strong physically ain't going to help me to fight the devil. Can I get a witness on that one? Look at verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? They're not carnal. They're not of the flesh. My physical strength means absolutely nothing when it comes to battling the devil. Our weapons aren't carnal. Here's what it says. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he goes on to say, casting out imagination and so on. See, our weapons as Christians are mighty through God. Prayer is one of those mighty weapons that through God and God alone can we get the victory in our lives. I think I'm going to go to Psalm 61, if you go there too. And I think you might go there too. Psalm 61. I want you to see something. I think it's a psalm. We'll find out when we get there. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Psalm 60. Yes, Psalm 60. Psalm 60, not 61, Psalm 60. I'm saying this, prayer puts us in contact with the Lord. And when I'm in contact with the Lord and the devil knows it, he knows if he's going to pick on me, he's going to have to fight him. I grew up, I'm from the city of Philadelphia. Don't hold that against me, please. But I grew up in a bad neighborhood. I come from a very broken home, broken family. Father was an alcoholic. Mother raised 5 boys on welfare. Very bad situation. Grew up smoking weed, alcoholic 17 years old, all of that. And in the neighborhoods that I grew up in, if we got into a fight with another group from another neighborhood and I was alone, I wasn't staring there fighting anybody. Hello? I might as well just ask to be whooped. I had to run to my area. We would call it our turf. I'd have to run to my area, and sometimes I'd fake by calling out people's names like they're there and they weren't, only to hope that these people think somebody's there. Amen? But if I got to the neighborhood, if they chased me far enough, if we got enough people, what would happen? They would turn around. They don't mind coming after me, but when they have to come after a bunch of other people, I don't want them, and I don't want to do that. Let me tell you something, the devil chases us down. If we can run to the throne of grace and he wants to try to chase us there, he's going to find himself in trouble. Amen? Why? Because he's going to have to face the Lord, not me. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 60. Look at verse number 11 and 12. I think it's 11 and 12. Yeah. Psalm 60, verse number 11 and 12. Here's what the psalmist said to the Lord. He said, give us help from trouble, for the word vain means empty. is the help of man. See, what is he saying? He's saying, Lord, we need your help in our situation. The help of man is empty. It's not going to work. In fact, look at verse number 12 as he goes on in this prayer. He said, through what? Through God, we shall do valiantly. This is a battle term. This is a victory term. He's saying, listen, man is not going to be the key to victory. God is going to be the key to victory. And he says, through God we shall do valiantly. Why? For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. We need the Lord. Amen? We need the Lord. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Exodus, chapter number 17. Prayer is such a needy weapon. It's a weapon that every Christian has at their disposal. We have to avail ourselves more of it. Amen? Exodus 17. We are going to look in a moment, beginning in verse number 18. Exodus 17, verse number 18. Let me say this. The children of Israel, by the way, personally now I'm starting to work a little bit through Exodus myself. In Exodus 17, the children of Israel, if you read back, they came out of the land of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea by a mighty act of God. Amen. They got on the other side of the Red Sea and they were shouting and singing and having a great time, thanking God for the victory that he gave them over Egypt. And then all of a sudden, I think they went about 3 days into the wilderness and realized, hold on a minute, we have no water. And then eventually, we have no food. And before you know it, they started to complain and so on, and God provided for them. The children of Israel have gotten to chapter 17, verse number 8. Get this. It's on the heels of the fact that they were just battling circumstances. Just battling circumstances. We're in the wilderness and we don't have what it takes to make it. And they were struggling with doubt and fear and discouragement and blaming Moses and going through everything that they would go through. And God provided for them. So they're pretty weak and weary at this time. I mean, it's just not the opportune time right now. Not from a human perspective, but the devil saw an opportunity to jump on these people. I tell you when the devil really likes to jump on us. When we're vulnerable. When did the devil tempt Jesus to turn the bread and or turn the stone into bread? When was it? Yeah, I think after he had fasted about, what, 40 days? It wasn't the beginning of the fast. What kind of battle is that? What kind of temptation is that, right? When he was hungry, the Bible says. Amen? And I believe the devil knows when we get to a certain place and we're just vulnerable. One of those, not today, please. Amen? And these people have just gone through some struggles and some situations. And all of a sudden, on top of all of that, this is where the devil comes with a different kind of battle. Look at verse number 8. Exodus 17, verse number 8. Note the term, then. That denotes a time period. Then came Amalek. Amalek was the first group of human beings that the children of Israel would have to battle as they first came out of Egypt. They had their battles with other things, but now they're facing for the first time human beings. Might I say it this way? They're facing, spiritually speaking, flesh. See, Amalek's a picture of the flesh because it's the first group of fleshly people they're battling. Watch what happens. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse number 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and what? Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, he said, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. By the way, Joshua chose out men to go down and to fight with Amalek. And Moses and some other leadership decided to go on top of the hill to do something. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel what? Prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Symbolically speaking, might I say this? Joshua and the men were fighting Amalek, fighting, if you will, the enemy. Joshua or Moses and the leadership was up on the hill with their hand up, or his hands up, basically a symbol of prayer, depending on God. You go and fight, and I'm going to call on God, and we need to depend on him. As long as our hands are up, we're going to win. You've heard the term, he won hands down before. When it comes, you've never heard that term? That term means it was easy battle. I mean, he won hands down. Didn't have to do anything. We don't win hands down as Christians. We win hands up. Looking to God. Depending on God. So as Moses, as his hands were up, they got the victory. When his hands went down, they started to get defeated. The whole thought is as we depend on God, we can win the victory over Amalek, over the flesh. Look at verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. Might I say this? It's not easy to go through life constantly depending on God. It's not easy. How many people sing that song, This Little Light of Mine? How many people sing it? How many people sing that song and hold up your Bible? Ever do that one? Never did that one. This little light of mine. We would do that all the time. And you hold up your Bible. Let me tell you something. We used to do that, you know, in Sunday school with the children. And I always had a pretty big Bible. I kind of cut down on the size. But I had a big Bible. And we would sing so many stanzas. And before you know it, man, after a while, this Bible may be light. But when you're trying to hold it up constantly, it gets what? It gets heavy. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, you try to hold up your hands with nothing in them. See how long you can last. Moses... hands were getting heavy, which is a great picture of, listen, it's not the easiest thing to be praying and seeking God and depending on him. Not humanly speaking. If it was that easy, we'd all be doing it more often. Amen. And even more longer. Look at verse number, where are we at? Verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. And by the way, somebody helped him to keep his hands up. Leaders obviously have to have their hands up to God all the time for the sake of God's people. And leadership is a tough place to have and be. And sometimes those leaders get weak and weary seeking the Lord, and they need help. You need to be praying for those that are praying for you. Amen? Verse number 12. They stayed up his hands. They helped stayed up his hands. The one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were what? Steady. So he had help with his hands. And as they stayed up there steady, it says in verse number 12. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13 is the key. And Joshua discomfited. What that means is he got the total victory over Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amen. You and I, as Christians, as believers, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're trying to fight the devil. We're trying to fight the flesh. We're trying to fight the world. And by the way, sometimes we're trying to fight all of them at the same time. Amen? What are we to do? We got to look to the Lord. We got to call the Lord. We got to seek the Lord. Amen? Why? Because I am not going to win the victory over these enemies. I think of what the psalmist often said, and especially in chapter 18, David said, my enemies are too strong for me. Too strong for me. I am weak, but he is strong. Amen? And so the thought is, as you and I go through this life and go through our battles, don't go through alone. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Call on the Lord. I think of Psalm 51:15, and I'll close with this. The psalmist said, God said through the psalmist, call on me in the day of your trouble. I'll deliver you and you'll glorify me. Amen. God help us not to try to go through this battle alone, because I guarantee we'll lose. Amen. God, help us to use the weapon of prayer that we all have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the gathering this morning. Thank you for those that are visiting with us. We pray for your blessing on everything said and done. Bless our few moments of fellowship before our morning service. And bless, we pray, the morning service in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a good 20 minutes, so have some fellowship, greet one another, and welcome our visitors. And about quarter of, we'll get started this morning, all right?